started with our first guest on that low note. This week, a couple of days ago, actually, it was announced that reality star Kim Kardashian filed for divorce from musician Kanye West after about 7 years of marriage. They have 4 children, 7, 3, 5, and 2. And just, and it's really been in the news, and it's been acknowledged that Kanye West, who had a bid for president, as you recall, it was a little chaotic, but he was on the ballot in many states. He's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And using this story, I really think it's an interesting topic to discuss. How are children treated in a divorce? We're not going to talk about their divorce because we don't know the facts there. But just using that as an example, how are kids treated? How should kids be treated? And if you're going through a divorce or thinking about going through a divorce, what are the things you can do to make sure your kids are okay? And in particular, if one of the parents has a mental health diagnosis, are there special considerations when it comes to that? And with us to discuss this is one of the top names in children's issues in divorce work. He does custody evaluations, he counsels and lectures and teaches and writes and appears as an expert on all of these types of issues, Dr. Alan Childs. He's a licensed clinical psychologist and a good friend of mine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Childs. How are you today?
I'm great, Karen. Thanks for asking.
And I feel the warmth. I feel the warmth because you're calling from your vacation, which I really appreciate you taking a hiatus from the heat and coming into the coolness of Chicago.
I'm more than happy.
So just basically, can children who are products of a divorce be okay in the long run? What's the statistic on that?
Statistically, children can be okay in a divorce in the long run. The most important part of this is when parents can communicate and support one another going through the divorce process and help the children understand that everything is going to be okay. That's paramount in these situations. When parents are open and honest and really encouraging and trying and very much not putting the children in the middle of the turmoil and the situation, it really gives the children a chance to kind of breathe in a much healthier fashion. So therefore, we want to reduce the tensions that the parents are experiencing in divorce and make sure that both parents are fostering that relationship between the children and both parents. That's paramount.
And it sounds so easy. And then, listen, I suppose in many cases that does happen. And being, as a lawyer, I see, a lot of the cases where things don't work out very well. But I even see great parents who have otherwise raised and sacrificed for their children, raised good kids and have had, really good success with their children. When they get into a divorce situation, they're angry at a spouse. There is that tendency to use the children as bargaining chips. And how do you convince a parent not to do that? How, if you're a mom and dad's doing it or dad and mom's doing it, how do you address that with your other spouse? How do you calmly say to the other spouse, this isn't working out for our kids?
Well, what I really tell the parents is you really want to ensure that the children always feel safe and secure. You always want to encourage warmth, affection, always be open with the children. Respect and speak well of the other parent. That is most importantly. I find that a lot of the difficulties that occur are when parents speak negatively about the other parent in the presence of the children. And that really causes tremendous anxiety and does cause children to feel unsafe and insecure in those situations. I think it's really important that they cooperate with the other parent about matters that involve the children, talk, support the kids to have empowerment and autonomy. And I think most importantly, if the children are really having a hard time, seek out professional help. Try to get the children a counselor or a child therapist to help them talk about whatever it is they're afraid of.
And, the point that you made about not talking badly about another parent, someone explained this to me a long time ago. Kids have two parents, and those are the people they probably love most in life, right? And if one of the people who you love most in life is saying really bad things about the other parent who you really love most in life, that really creates a serious problem and a serious psychological issue for children that can be long-term and can be something that need to be fixed later on. But I'm sorry, we're going to have to take a quick break. I wanted to introduce the topic. Dr. Alan Childs is here with us on WGN, and we're talking about children in a divorce and how we deal with that issue. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. We're back back with Dr. Alan Childs, who is a licensed clinical psychologist and one of the top experts here on the issue of child custody and those types of issues. Thanks again for joining us. Dr. Childs, let's talk about a case where the parents are getting a divorce and there's a controversy as to how the children are going to spend time. We don't use the word custody anymore, right? And can you explain a little bit about how we don't use that term anymore and whether you think that's a good thing?
Yeah, we don't use a term anymore. We use more parent allocation time because it gives the children, kind of puts them in a position where their time is divided and it's monitored, and it doesn't put them in a way where they feel like they're just enjoying each parent or having like two separate houses. I think what happens now is there's shared parenting, and most importantly, I think what's important is that the kids have the opportunity to enjoy both parents and to even to spend as much time, even equally, as possible. Kids don't really want to have the numbers or hours placed upon them when they're with parents, but they want to just have the quality of time and maintain that bond and attachment that they've had with really both parents before they've separated and have two separate houses.
I know a lot of people still think that the mother is presumed to be the more caring, more emotionally responsive parent, and that there are prejudices and bias in the judges who make these decisions, even though the law is gender neutral. Do you think that that should be the case? Do you think there should be any presumption with gender when it comes to allocating time with two parents after parties are divorced?
Absolutely not. What happens is there's a bond and attachment that's always formed. I always use these words when a child is born. And with really both parents, they become attached to each parent, but there's always the emotional caretaker of a parent. And what happens is the emotional component there becomes much stronger, and the child might want to be with his dad and might want to live with their dad for a longer period of time or more time, maybe less time with mom. And I think nowadays children are becoming more involved in expressing kind of what they want, like their wishes. You know, what is their relationship, you know, with the siblings? You know, what's their involvement with mom and dad, you know, in the home life and that kind of thing. And mental health also plays a factor, too, as far as, you know, which parent can also care for the children, you know, a little, you know, better and more responsibly and provide the time and the care.
Dr. Alan Childs, you have done a lot of these evaluations and made recommendations to the court as to how time should be divided. These are very, very tough decisions. And yes, I mean, they're just heart-wrenching. And I know the judges hate to make them because they change the course of a child's life. And it also it impacts parents greatly as well. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what are the things that you look for when you're doing the evaluation and what factors and how do you get to those factors? How do you get to make those determinations in this process?
That's an excellent question, Karen. I look at each parent's desire for custody. First of all, I always want to really hear the child's wishes. I think that's so important to kind of hear what is important to them, how they express, you know, the time that they spend with mom and dad, kind of what life has been like, and what's important to them. I think they do need to be heard very, very in a great level. I look at the child, their relationship with each of the children's relationship with their siblings, their involvement in the school and community where mom and dad live. The circumstances of their home life is very important. You know, what goes on there? You know, what's the emotional climate like? You know, who does homework with them? You know, who spends more time with them? Who spends less time? I look at the parents', you know, work time. That's another factor. You know, who's there with the children, really watching them, spending time with them, especially during this pandemic time. I think it's very difficult that the children have, you know, a lot of time with either parent, kind of monitoring them. I look at the parents' physical and mental health very closely. Always do a full battery of psychological testing, personality testing, looking at their ability to parent stress level. I give a test called a parent stress index, which is a very good test to kind of measure how they can handle the stress of actually raising their child. Most importantly, looking at the parents' physical and mental health. Have to look at that very carefully to make sure they are okay emotionally and physically, and then they can take on that role and responsibility. And then a little deeper from there, I get into see if there's been any domestic violence that's occurred by either parent. That comes up quite frequently as a concern. But most importantly, Karen, I really look at the ability of the parent to encourage and foster a relationship between each other. That is a major factor. in terms of really making sure that they are very positive and encouraging of one another and do not say negative things or hurtful statements in the presence of their child.
And Dr. Charles, I want to say that when parents come to me for a divorce, and let's say I hear the mom say, you know, dad is just, he has no, you know, tolerance for the kids. He yells, he's a bad dad. He's, you know, he'd rather be out at the casino. And I hear this kind of talk and I think to myself, on one level, you know, you're listening to it because you want to make sure the children are okay and you want to advocate for your client. But to your point, is she willing to foster a good relationship between the children and that other parent? And when she talks like that, I have to tell her, you know, that kind of talk is not good even to me. It's not good to say it to me. It's not good to say it to a custody evaluator like yourself. It's not good to say it to a judge. And it's certainly and foremost not good to talk to your kids like that. I'm sure you get that, where people come to you and they think by bad-mouthing the other side, they're going to get an advantage in this litigation.
I get that frequently, unfortunately. That comes up a lot because they think that's going to kind of trump and get them and put me in a position to say, no, I see you're the better parent, and by putting this other parent down, that I'm going to really go in their favor. And I really try to identify that, because what happens is a lot of times the children are the best reporters, and I can always hear from the children kind of, what do you do with mom? What do you do with dad? You know, what are some of the things you do as far as activities? You know, who takes you to the doctor, dentist? You know, who spends time with you with homework? You know, who's there for you? I think the interactions in the household and all those considerations are significant. And then again, along with that, there are also religious cultural considerations as well as special needs of the child. And I think who's ever working with the children at that level too is pretty significant.
Just briefly, because then I want to go into the mental health issue that we have perhaps in this Kanye West, Kim Kardashian litigation that might be going on with their divorce. But at what age do you really listen to a child? You said you really do listen carefully to a child. But if a child says, you know what, I want to be with dad. Dad gives me candy. Mom gives me carrots. Dad takes me to Six Flags. Mom, you know, takes me to the library, you know, that type of conversation. How do you determine and weed out why a child wants to be with one parent over another and make sure that that's a good reason?
Well, typically when children are 12 and, you know, over, they have a lot of more rights under the mental health code in Illinois as far as, you know, there's being a spokesperson as far as what's important to them. But I try to listen carefully to look at the value of why they want to, you know, spend more or less time with the parent. You know, if it's candy or more fun, I look at that, you know, pretty closely, but I look at more of the actual, like, the homework and the caretaking, the physical and psychological, you know, functioning that goes on between the children and the parents. I think that's more significant in terms of the caretaking. And I look at the emotional caretaking component primarily, because I think whatever is going there on between the children and the parent, I think that's what they value or are going to need more so during a turbulent or, you know, difficult divorce process.
Absolutely. And we literally have a minute, and this is the issue we wanted to use as a springboard. But let's just say one of the parents has a mental health diagnosis. And clearly, I'm not getting to a point here to say that if there is a mental health diagnosis, whether it's anxiety, depression, bipolar, or what have you, that makes you an unfit parent. But how do you, doctor, deal with those kinds of issues when you have parents who do have some sort of diagnosis?
Very delicately, actually. I think it's very important to assess that carefully, because if there is a mental health issue, it certainly does not impact the parenting abilities of the parent necessarily. You know, if the parent has a mental illness, they still have that bond and attachment and they care about their child. It just needs to be monitored closely. And I think in that case, the co-parenting needs to be much stronger, because the other parent can kind of look after the child a little closer to make sure mom or dad is okay and that everything is safe for the child.
Doctor,
don't interfere with that.
Well, you just completely ran out of time. Dr. Alan Childs, I'm going to post your contact information on the WGN website. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your vacation. You're listening to WGN, and we'll be back with more Legal Talk.